Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. 1 week. We're just discussing all the permutations of voting, and it seems more complicated this year for some reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe because I'm paying attention. You know, typically I just like, okay, here's where I go. I go on election day. I wait in line for an hour. I vote. I come back here. But now you have all these options, but all the options don't seem great. So
I early voted. It was awesome.
Oh, good.
I did it on Saturday at the Lewis and Clark branch in Moline Acres. I'm in St. Louis County, so one of the 14 satellite polling places. They were awesome. I was telling all my county friends and family, St. Louis County friends and families, like, I know some of the polling stations closer to me were really long lines. And so, yeah, you can go to the St. Louis County Board of Elections, their website, and we'll give you how long the lines are at each polling station.
How daunting was the 20-inch ballot?
You know what it was? It was the judges. There were 24 judges in St. Louis County, and I got a hand cramp twice. Twice I had to lift up my arm and, like, shake out, like, my wrist and my hand. Because the circles are just big enough that you actually have to work a little bit to fill in the circles. And so I made it through, obviously, all the candidates, made it through the amendments and the propositions. And the judges were the only daunting part.
I usually just vote against all the judges.
Well, I canceled you out. I voted to retain all of them. Because I do like the St. Louis County system, right? They're not elected. It's like they're nominated to like a panel and then appointed by a governor. I like that process. I feel like it's a good process.
Are you saying you exclusively go in, just vote against all the judges and nothing else?
Just leave.
Nope, no president, no senate. I'm just
this guy hates
no judges.
Glover's revenge.
Knock them all out.
Leaving. That would be
no. Nope, leave everything else blank, but no on all the judges.
Just vote no on one.
Wow, he really hates that person.
No, this guy waited in line for 3 hours to vote.
Just to vote no on this one guy.
No on McGillicuddy. No on McGillicuddy.
Do you know him?
No.
He's got a sign. He's electioneering. Do not retain.
They're just so superior. Their robes and their judgment.
Oh, that'd be a great bit.
It would be.
I went in to vote, waited an hour and a half, voted no on Smith for judge.
And why the heck not? Let's gamble. It. I voted yes on Amendment 2. No against Bob, but yes on Amendment 2.
Got Amendment 2 and 3 mixed up. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, man. I kind of want to do that, but...
But you kind of don't.
I kind of don't, because it matters.
Because it matters.
So I won't.
Good.
Anyone else exhausted? Just like...
Is anyone not?
Life exhausted.
Like, are any normies not? Because I'm sure, like, the politicos, they're like, this is great.
I know I do a lot of, like, in the 80s and the 90s, but in the 80s and the 90s, you weren't exhausted by people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was talking to Rach about this. You had your parents and your family. You had your girlfriend or boyfriend. You had a couple of friends. And then you had television. And it was like Bob Newhart and Love Boat and things like that. Now you see everybody, whether you want to or not, and everyone is so opinionated.
Yeah.
And I know that I should celebrate it, but I'm not that guy. I'm voting against judges. Like, I know I should celebrate it. And everyone, they're getting their opinions out, and it's never been more this or that. But I'm also just like, shut up. Shut up. I'll shut up if you'll shut up. Can we just all shut up?
I wish it was just people's opinions. But with the way social media works, half of what you see are bots. It's not just people expressing their opinions.
Good point.
I mean, there are people for whom reality does not matter. The only thing that matters is whatever your desired result is, and it doesn't matter how you get there.
And you know what? It is so much more difficult to look at Twitter and look at replies. Because and I like to on certain tweets just to see what the response from humans would be.
Right.
But it's very clear that like 75% of them are not real people. It's like the accounts are like true patriot 78. Like, oh, okay, yeah, you're
except
a real
it's
person.
Not 78. It's 7894374352.
So it's pretty easy to tell who's a bot.
Oh, easy.
Not 100%, but you can get pretty close most of the time.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's a good
worse
it's
than
a
it's
good
ever
indicator
been.
When it's a name any name, person's name or Patriot or Missouri or whatever, followed by like 8, 9, 10 numbers.
And okay, so I don't understand bots. Does a human sit down and create Mizzou Rocks number 5, 9, 6, 7 and then monitor it, or they just put it out into the universe?
Oh, I mean, more often than not, they're just bot farms. Like, the bot farms exist here, they exist in Russia, they exist in Iran, and it's just large numbers of people in basically cubicles in an office, and maybe not even that organized, but I know there have been examples of that, but they could just be people anywhere, and their computer will be running 100 bots, and they're not even doing it, it's automated.
Are we witnessing human entropy, everything falling apart? Or does it just feel like that in the moment sometimes?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's that. It's definitely that it feels that way. I don't know that it actually is.
I think what frustrates me the most, and this is not just Trump people are so hard-headed, they won't listen to logic, but I've never felt more personally opinionated. I'm really, like, pretty confident in my opinions, and yet I've never felt less meaningful. And I have a radio show. Like, most normies out there are just affecting a handful of people. And here I have a bully pulpit and a microphone. And yet I just feel like it literally doesn't matter what I say. And it's not my job to convince people or to bring people along or whatever it is. But, you know, you kind of want to give your opinion. And it's like having a horrible mother-in-law who you can't complain to your husband about because you know that it's going to fall on deaf ears. That's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, I've been frustrated with how ugly everything has gotten. I've been frustrated particularly with the ugliness coming from the Republican side. We talked about Madison Square Garden and the different Trump rallies and those who have loud voices on the right. And I dislike that because I do have strong policy concerns with the Democratic Party. It's why I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Democrat. Now, I feel completely alienated by the Republican Party. I feel homeless, but I'm definitely not a Democrat. And I actually have real concerns, policy differences. There are things that make me angry, like really angry on the Democratic side, and things that Kamala Harris has said, and they concern me. The problem is, on the right, the Republican Party, my concerns that come from Donald Trump, the language surrounding Donald Trump, and language coming from Trump himself, to me, I have to prioritize over the other concerns because ultimately I'm an institutionalist and I like our system of government and I like democracy and the Constitution and the separation of powers. What I don't like what's coming from the right is, well, we can just supersede all of that because we need to do it for the good of the country. I am opposed to that. And what I can say is if Kamala Harris wins, and let's say Republicans win the House and Senate, it's really going to balance out a lot of things. She's not, I mean, you would have a conservative House, a conservative Senate, and a conservative Supreme Court. It's going to be okay. And those institutions will be there. What concerns me is Donald Trump and his disregard for institutions. And that's what concerns me, which now I have to put my real policy concerns aside and go with Donald Trump, the institutions, the distrust in the election, the distrust in the government, the FBI. That's how democracy commits suicide.
I will tell you this. I would feel a whole lot better about everything if it weren't already starting, where he had his social post yesterday saying, oh, York County in Pennsylvania, there are fraudulent ballots that are coming. He's already doing it. If that was absent, if there was none of that stuff, this is rigged, this is fraud, all these, where are these ballots coming from? People are voting 5 times. If that were not part of this equation, I would feel so much better about this election. But I don't, because I think that either way, if he wins or if he loses, it's still going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's not going to end next Tuesday.
It's not going to end on Tuesday.
That's my big question, is if Donald Trump loses, and of course there's going to be, you know, the body is going to jerk for a while. But once you get past that, do the Lindsey Grahams and the Speaker of the House, Johnson of the world, do they go, whew, okay, Wicked Witch is dead, let's turn our backs, let's go back to being Republicans, or do they keep going with the MAGA stuff with a new leader?
Well, apparently Mitch McConnell's new book is coming out, right? Or it just came out, and he's in his book, he's pushing for that.
For it to continue.
Like, no, no,
no. To go no, back no, to the
go
old
back
way.
To the yeah. way it used to be. Because I think one of the things that is frustrating, and it's kind of speaking to what Amy's talking about, is it's one thing to sell out and say, we'll break every rule, we'll break every norm because we need to win. But then you're encouraging the other side to do the same. And you wouldn't be okay with it if your opponent was doing it. So why is it okay for you to do it? And I think that the fact that we have gotten away from holding ourselves to a particular standard, that's why the institutions matter. So when Amy refers to institutionalism, you refer to it. That's what that's about. That's keeping everyone honest so that they don't just do what it takes to win. Because if it's going to be that, then it's going to be everybody for themselves, all breaking rules, and that doesn't work for anybody. If you wouldn't be okay with your opponent doing it, you shouldn't do it.
Esoteric question for Amy. Is populism, because I don't understand the classic liberalism and conservative and populism, is populism by nature extreme? For example, we used to play between the 40-yard lines, mm-hmm. and now we're going to the 20-yard lines.
Yeah, it's more extreme. It's anti-elitist, anti-institutionalist. It is ultimately the embodiment of a pure democracy. Majority wins. That's what populism is. And I will say this, going back to the elections and how Trump has complete disregard for the Constitution and what he's doing when he just lies to people about the integrity of the elections. We have our Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft. He was in the building yesterday talking about how Missouri elections are secure. They are secure. He is a Republican Secretary of State, and he's like, absolutely, Missouri's secure. Now, Missouri's most likely going to go pretty heavily for Trump, right?
Yeah.
Brad Raffensperger, he's a Republican Secretary of State, and he's like, Georgia's elections are secure. They're secure. But then if Trump loses, people are making death threats on Raffensperger and his family. Ashcroft's pretty darn lucky that if you're saying the election was stolen, other states is stolen, he can say that in the luxury of knowing he lives in a red state. If let's say the state were blue at some point, or even purple, you know who he might be in the same place as Brad Raffensperger, saying, whoa, the state's secure. The only reason why Jay Ashcroft can say that he can be so bold and saying, well, it's absolutely secure. He's under no threat.
Yeah.
But Brad Raffensperger is a Republican Secretary of State who keeps telling everybody, Georgia's elections are secure.
And
but because Trump lost, they're going after it.
I mean, isn't that crazy, though? Like, there's only fraud where we lose.
It's only fraud when we
lose. Like, that's insanity. And if any, like, If you're a Trump voter and you heard Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Barack Obama say that, well, Missouri's only red because they're cheating, you would be like, you're so full of crap. You're liars. You're making it up.
If your 8-year-old said that.
Right. I mean, like, and when you're doing it preemptively, you're telling on yourself. And, we didn't bring it up yesterday. We didn't really have a lot of time. But, you know, you had the Joe Rogan interview the other day, and Trump started going in on the rigged election, and Joe said,
why don't you present it?
When are you going to give us the evidence?
To his credit.
And he said it nicely. Yeah. Rogan was being sympathetic. He's like, listen, we got 3 hours. You can lay it all out mm-hmm. right now. And the response was, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Why not just lay it out there? I mean, because it doesn't exist.
Gary on line one. Gary, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I like your show. It's always interesting. Let me throw this up at you, because you obviously remember what happened January 6th, 3 years back. But say Trump gets elected, and if I've got this correct, he cannot run again because he's done it twice. I thought it had to be consecutive, but I was told I was wrong, that no, once he's done his 4 years, he cannot run again. Mm-hmm. So if that's correct, say he decides, like what happened in January 6th, hey, look, this is wrong. I didn't lose. Say he just says, yeah, 4 years, I don't think I'm leaving. This guy reminds me too much of a dictator. And to me, I voted for him the very first time because he sounded like somebody knew what was going on. Mm. But then I realized, gee, many Christmas, this guy can't shut his mouth and get out of his own way. He's doing something right, but then he drives you crazy, and he's just gotten worse. And I told my cousin this. I said, what if he doesn't leave? He said, no, he can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you're looking at it from rational reasoning.
Yeah.
Our system is, but that's not how Putin North Korea, Iran. This is how this place has got started hundreds of years ago. I said, if this guy wants to stay, who's going to make him leave?
Yeah, thank you, Gary, which is why Amy and I are institutionalists, because...
Yeah, that's the point of the institution, so nobody can do that.
Yeah, keep it between the guardrails, so no individual person can ever pull something like that
on either side.
And it's not. I don't want to make it seem either like it's a given that Trump would do that. He probably wouldn't need to. First of all, he's going to be
very
in his mid-80s by that time if he's going there, but there are people that would succeed him who could continue... in that vein, not necessarily staying forever, but pushing the boundaries.
Question to think about on the other side of the break. This was brought up by Scott Jeffries, who is a conservative guy on CNN the other day. He said, all of you Democrats and liberals are playing the fascist card, and it could be the end of democracy. If you really believe that, how can you allow him to take the office if he wins in 2024? 24 at DGS. So what about that? Scott Jeffries' point that if you really, truly believe these things about Donald Trump, then how can you allow him to take power? You have to do something, even if it's outside the institutions, which goes against everything we've been talking about. But I thought it was an interesting point.
Is he trying to make the argument that that's why Trump's life is in jeopardy and that why people have attempted assassination on him?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Or is it an explanation for like the J6 stuff?
I don't know. I don't agree with it because I think people, for the most part, just believe, well, you vote. I mean, you vote.
I think what he's saying is
the recourse.
You're just being hyperbolic. You don't really think he's the end of democracy. Otherwise, you'd stand in front of him outside the Oval Office.
Right, like if you were Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about killing baby Hitler. Well, if he's a grown-up Hitler, well...
Yeah, I do think that most of the people that would think that... And I do think it's a wild exaggeration, right? To me, that doesn't help when you're always raising the level on your opponent. Like, again, it's happening in... You're a Marxist and you're a fascist. Like, that doesn't help because nobody is those things at this point.
Because to your point, like, you can be a really, really bad person before you're Hitler.
Right.
Like, you can be really, because I actually said this, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I'm like, he's not Hitler. And I'm like, oh, you're defending him? No.
I'm not defending him.
You're just not the worst person in history. And the same thing with, like, you could say there are fascistic tendencies in that his entire reality operates around a lie and he is just absolutely enamored with unrestrained power. But if you ask Trump to define fascism and what Mussolini believed, he's not going to be able to do it. He's not a philosophical
fascist. Right. But I do think we should take seriously the opinions of people who worked closest with him and worked for him and were hired by him.
Which is everybody but Haley is against it.
What is it? Out of 44 advisors, is like 40 of them? Dude. And his own vice president? His vice president, his chief of staff, the national security, like all of these people that he hired are telling us this guy is not good. Are we not supposed to listen to that or assume they're all lying? All of these people are wrong or a liar or
that's a trick, right?
Or are taking it out on him because they fired him. He didn't fire John Kelly.
No.
So I don't know, man. If we can't take the word of people who know him closest, who do you listen to?
Well, there's only one person to listen to in this equation. That's the person that's doing the telling, right? I mean, it's the candidate. That's the only person that you're allowed to listen to because anyone who's not that person could end up changing their tune and being a liar the way that it's framed right now. The way that it's framed is if it's anyone other than that same voice, whether it's the same person or people repeating what that person is saying, everything else is false no matter what.
That is Trump's highest measure of character is pure, unquestioning obedience. It's why he talked about Hitler's generals, because he doesn't know history, doesn't know that his generals tried to kill him, doesn't know that his
well, that they lost the war,
suicide.
Too. It's not like they were great. They lost.
He doesn't love Hitler's generals because he was reading Mein Kampf. He likes Hitler's generals because in his mind, they did everything he said, just unquestionably.
Dave, I mentioned this. We only have a second, but I mentioned this the other day. I think it's as much a CEO mentality as it is anything political. Because when you're the CEO, when you own the company, people
nobody
do
tells
what you
no.
say. I think it's that more than anything else.
134 DGS. Okay, you ready to stop being smart and start being dumb?
Yeah.
Okay, I was in the zone last night, and I was thinking about one of my things when I'm in the zone, and I thought, you see someone, you see two people running across the field or down a sidewalk, and one's clearly chasing the other. Maybe it's a cop chasing a criminal. Maybe it's whatever it is. Someone's got a 20-yard lead, and someone's chasing them. Don't think about who's fitter or thinner or more athletic or who seems faster. Who do you think's going to win? Like, do you look at them? And like, I always think the person chasing is going to catch that person. Like, if I were running, maybe it's from dreams and you're running through sand and stuff. But anytime I'm thinking about running from someone, which thank God I've rarely had to do, I think they're going to catch me. Eventually, they're going to catch me.
Always.
So we're not evaluating anything physical, you said, right?
I should fall right now so that they just kill me now.
Because I would always think the chasee is the one that's going to get away. Because they're
more motivated.
Well, because you have the initiative. You're deciding where you're going, when you're turning, when you're going. The other person has to be the reactive
position.
Like a
wide receiver.
So I would always pick the initiator rather than the reactor.
See, you always have reasons. You always he does. He's the most logical person.
I'm picking the chaser because ultimately the chasee is going to run into some obstacle they didn't expect.
Like a tall fence.
A big fence.
Maybe,
yeah.
But what if they know the area?
See,
eventually.
I always think that
they're also more desperate in the chasee.
Yeah, I always think the chasee is going to get away unless I'm the chasee, in which I will 100% get caught. Like, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I would, if that were me,
how are you going to get caught?
She doesn't run fast. She just runs for a long time.
No, but nobody can stay with you. You just have to go for like 4 minutes
right
and everybody else is tapping out.
I'm pretty fast still. If I took off running right now, And Ron started chasing me, I would feel immediately weak.
Panicked.
Oh, dude.
Panicked, weak, jelly legs.
Yeah.
Jello
yeah.
legs. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I'd give up.
I hate being
chased. There a helicopter involved?
With the spotlight?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is amazing that people get away. Like,
really
especially now, right? Yeah. With, like, you know, with CC. Well, although, do they, though, like, really fully get away, or do they just get away for the moment? With CCTV
Probably.
Cameras and Ring cameras everywhere and helicopters eventually and all that. I mean, you may get away in the moment, but do you really get away? Like, what percentage of the time do you think the person that runs from police actually gets away with it? Like, doesn't get recognized, doesn't get caught on a camera somewhere?
I bet it's not very often.
I would bet the higher percentage is they get caught.
Yeah. Oh, I'd agree with that. I think it's definitely more often than not.
I think the golden age of bank robberies was like the 19th century. You had a chance.
You really did.
You really had a chance in the 19th century.
In the 40s, you could just kill your spouse, and you're going to get away with it.
Probably.
Like, someone's going to show up and be like, heard your wife's dead, and you're like, yeah, someone shot her. And you're like, you know who? No, okay, nothing to see here.
That's not what happened to Andy Dufresne.
No?
Andy Dufresne got pinned on him.
Yeah, I always thought that about whenever I see a Western. I'm like, why wouldn't they just follow someone out into the wilderness and shoot him? Nobody's going to see it.
That's what I mean. Rob a bank. It's 1871. You get on your horse, you rob the bank, you ride away.
But if they catch you, they're hanging you.
Yeah. There's no trial. They're a little bit stronger disincentive. But right. Then they could still get the wrong person. Because what if you had two guys with the same cowboy hat? And, you know, they picked the wrong one.
Let's talk a little World Series. What do you think's going on?
There's one difference in the series that's primary, and that's the Dodgers, when they hit the ball, are hitting for power. Neither team's hitting very well. I think the Dodgers hitting 220, Yankees hitting 180 something.
Hmm.
But the Dodgers have twice as many extra base hits and home runs, so power's winning it. And you know, people try to do this. I'm sure you've experienced it, Ranj. Like, they're trying to make an analysis of something that's too small to analyze, like the whole Aaron Judge thing. Like,
yeah.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he stinks.
He's, you know, like, really?
Trade him.
Really?
Yeah, he's not good.
He's like
Trade
the best
him.
Everyday player since Barry Bonds. He's been doing it for years and years and years, and you think because he's cold for a few weeks that changes anything? And, you know, you have this dynamic where we're victims of the moment in the playoffs, and I was just going back and forth on Twitter with a Yankees fan who is describing what Yankees fans are doing right now. And they're doing things like going out, you know, they're on Yankee Twitter complaining that, this team was never any good. Never any good. You're in the World Series. How are you never? But there's a weird mentality in sports fans that if you get close, but you don't finish the deal, you somehow just weren't that good to begin with, which is just ridiculous.
Are you rooting for the Yankees to win just to keep it going?
I want a 6 or 7 game series.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It'd be
That's
nice if they won the next, like, get it to LA so we could have at least a little drama. Because if you win two in a row, and there's a little drama going into game six. That can, plus, then Ice Cube could perform again.
Oh, Fat Joe's taking crap because he walked on the mound with his Timberlands.
Oh, yeah. You weren't supposed to do that. You don't ever go on the mound. Although,
the first pitch people can go on the mound.
Yeah, I said I did. Yeah. So,
I've been on the mound.
Now it's fine.
Yeah. He should be taking the heat because he wasn't as good as Ice Cube.
Mm.
Cube was really good. That was a cool moment. Did you like that, Ronj?
It was fine.
I thought that was cool. Yeah. I wish baseball did more of that stuff, where you made it into a show as opposed to like, nope, we're not going to do that.
Well, I think they have been taking advantage of the fact that this is a highly anticipated series. Yeah. They're in Los Angeles.
Well, a lot of stars.
Two biggest markets. Yeah, so you got the biggest stars in the world and in the country are in either one of those cities.
But like looking forward, it doesn't have to be someone representing either city. It could just be a huge star of some kind like you do with the Super Bowl halftime show.
But that's what they usually do. Don't they get people from the markets?
But they'll do it like they'll do a national anthem or they'll do they'll do the America the Beautiful or something. They don't ever put on the show like that.
Yeah.
Where you come in and you play one of your biggest hits because the crowd was going nuts. Everybody loved it. The players in the dugout were fired up. The manager of the Dodgers is singing along. Like, what better way to get people amped up for a really big game? Yeah. Than a performance that gets everybody in the building jacked up.
Going back to the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam, did you hear the story about the kid who got the ball?
Yes.
So his dad said he was taking him to the dentist, and the kid was really upset.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. He didn't know he was going to the game. It's
and
so great.
And he took him to the game, and he caught the Grand Slam ball.
Yep, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Great?
Yeah, that's awesome. A cool story. I mean, you know, I'm not usually big on the whole, hey, I'm going to fool my kid thing, but that's a good... You know, it's a surprise more than it is, like I'm playing a joke on my kid.
Yeah,
you
never lied. You'll forgive your dad.
Yeah. When... Speaking of Freddie, another home run last night.
I know.
He's pretty hot, which is so crazy. Like, this is why this is so much fun. Because, like, a week and a half ago, you're like, man, I don't know if this guy's even going to make it through the NLCS because he's on one foot. He wasn't even playing back-to-back games early in the playoffs. And now here he is hitting a home run every single night. Pretty cool. He's pretty good, too, by the way.
He is pretty good.
Yeah.
He's a throwback.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
To me. Like, you could put him in any era, and he makes sense.
Oh, yeah. If you put him in an 80s uniform, he looks like an 80s player. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have the look of, like, an Aaron Judge who's like, he's such an alien. You know? Like,
I know.
God.
He looks ridiculous when he's up there.
He looks like AI.
Yeah.
Like, well, you guys
You know, Ohtani kind of
went a little far.
Went over the top. Yeah.
It's like what you create in when you're playing a video game. You create this... insanely impossible player. Yeah. That's what Judge looks like.
Well, but that's what Ohtani actually is.
I know he is.
One of the best hitters in the league. Oh, yeah. Also, he can pitch better than everybody else,
but he
too.
Also like, he looks like the throwback like Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Like, you could put Ohtani in a baseball uniform.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, no, but he's not weirdly big, right? He's like normal proportions. He's just tall. Yeah. He's got long arms. He is strong, but he's not muscle-bound
like some
players.
And Aaron Judge, not like you. Said, just looks so crazy. Yeah.
Andrew, you ever wonder why you can never get a milkshake at McDonald's?
All the time.
It's because there was heretofore one company in the entire world that could fix their McFlurry machines, and they could never get to them, and now they've opened it up to third market companies.
So that's the real reason.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did McDonald's get roped in like that?
I don't know.
You're McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't you tell a vendor, hey, if you're not doing what we need you to do, we're going to replace you?
It was like a huge, like, my gosh, maybe well, 2 years ago in the Wall Street Journal, like this.
There was a whole thing about it.
Profile about it is literally a monopoly of fixing the McFlurry machines.
How does the biggest one on the block get bullied?
I thought McDonald's was in on it, wasn't it?
Do they own the company?
Yeah, wasn't it something like that?
I don't remember that part. I know it was the machines, but it was a whole copyright thing.
Yeah,
I knew the clown had his fingers in it.
Oh, the clown definitely had his fingers in
He's
it.
He's got his fingers in everything.
Yeah,
he
does.
Like he had him in the onions.
Yeah, you got to keep him out of the onions.
Yeah, it came straight from the bathroom, went to the onions.
Oh, my gosh. Gross.
That's a McFowl.
That's a huge McFowl.
Didn't even wash.
That was a mistake.
You got to keep the McPoop away. Ever tell you that one?
That's McGross.
They were having telethon back at our old place at Emmis, and Ronald was there, and he happened to be in the stall.
No.
You see the shoes? Big shoes?
I swear to God. Just big red shoes and a bunch of grunting. And he came out and he goes like, Dave Glover, I'm a giant McFan. Swear to God.
Full paint and everything?
Oh, everything. Wiping off the white gloves.
I can't imagine walking in over here and seeing the shoes.
Wonder who that is.
That happened with Santa, too. We went to Frontenac when Phoebe was about three, and she had a cookie for Santa. And the line, I'm a bad person for this, the line was so long. And I see Santa take a break, and I think he's going to the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom at Frontenac, and I'm looking in the stalls, and I see big black boots. And I'm like, Phoebe, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. And we have a picture of this. We waited for him to come out of the bathroom, and then little Phoebe looks like Cindy Lou Who, walks up and hands him a cookie. He looks at me like, you piece of crap. saved us an hour, though.
That's,
that's
great. You don't want to sit on his lap on that throne. You know what I mean?
We're good.
Okay.
That was a good line. Andrew, what was your ruling on the pregnant lady?
Oh, it's on TikTok. There is a video of a woman. She says she has a family of six, so I guess that would be her. And the father of these kids, and then there's four kids and another one. She's pregnant with another one. And they live in a very, very small one-bedroom apartment. And people are being very... She's like, oh, this is my crazy life. But people are being very judgmental of her online.
She's being irresponsible.
Yeah, it's irresponsible to when you know that you can only have a lifestyle that supports a very small one-bedroom... Not a big one-bedroom apartment or a one-bedroom house or whatever. Like a very small one-bedroom apartment. Is it irresponsible to have now five children?
What do you think?
I mean, yeah. I kind of do. I think that, like, quality of life is very important. It's a big big part of my decision to not have children was mostly around that my fear that I would not be able to give them a high enough quality of life that I would
it's
want to
give them.
It's
a mature decision. To me, it probably shouldn't come down to this, but I would look at first, obviously, welfare of the kids. You know, a lot of us had rough times growing up, so rough times are okay, as long as they're not in danger. And then do you take public aid? And maybe that just makes me a fascist conservative or something, but I just think, like, if you can make it on your own, if you have 18 kids and you can make it on your own, go crazy. But if you can't, then that should be a sign that you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
But the kids don't have any space to themselves, and I think that's an important part of growing up as a kid.
To a degree, as I gotta say, my dad's one of 10 kids. Yeah. I mean, and they didn't get any assistance. You know, my grandfather had his own business and all that, but they didn't have any personal space.
Did they live in an apartment that was the size of
It was 10 kids in a really, really small house.
Like they had
I've seen the picture of the house. It's smaller than the house that I grew up in, and there were only the two kids and two parents in it.
I'm just silly.
Well, no, I mean, where is the apartment? Do they have plenty of food? Are they a close family? Are they supportive? Are they going to school? Are they doing well in school? Because there's a lot of social mobility that's available there. And of course, responsibility with finances is something to take into consideration, but they could have a great quality of life. That would be like everyone in China. Like, I think the average family in China has probably like one bedroom, or in Hong Kong, I should say, in really, really highly populated areas. They're in very tiny apartments. There's even micro apartments. And I know that's very difficult, but would be worth having a family. You can make it work.
Well, you're only allowed to have like one or two kids.
Well, you can have as many as you want now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because they have a shortage of future workers.
Well, they also have 30 million more men than they have women because they were letting all the girl babies die. The window babies, and a lot of them were overwhelmingly girls because he wanted a boy. So now there's like 30 to 40 more million more men than women. But what happened is, too, I mean, this is way off topic, but they created a culture where, like, okay, one kid, now you've got all these financial resources for one kid. That set the expectations. So when they lifted the rule and said you can have three kids, nobody had three kids. So then they lifted the rule and said you can have as many kids as you want. People aren't doing it because you've changed society's
habits. The way they view it, yeah.
And traditions and what you should be able to pour into one kid. It's really, really interesting to see what happened.
But to the case, I don't know that there's an automatic answer.
Yeah, no, there's not.
I mean, there are people that can do great stuff even with limited resources, and there are people that have good resources that do a terrible job.
I'm standing right here.
I look at you. We're proud.
Yeah, look at me. Drink it in.
Voted by his peers to do the most with the least.
Good way around.
I mean, the least with the most.
Yeah.
That was always the
voted most likely to screw this up.
It is such an insulting thing that the baseball players poll that they would do at the end of the year, and that was always one of the questions, like, which of the players that you play with or against does the least with the most talent?
Yeah.
And just to get voted that guy would suck.
Man. But everyone knows in your family.
Oh, yeah. For
your
sure.
workplace.
Yeah.
We can all pinpoint it.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.